What's up, everyone? This is Kyle, and this is Chris, and this is Caleb, and there is no Matt. But we are still the good old Rocky Pod, and even though it was a bye week, we are here, and we are excited about getting into the great rivalry, is it? We'll get into that, maybe. But all right, before we get into the game and before we get into this week's events, let's talk about the bye week. So what I like to do on a bye week, I'll reveal that in a second, but I want to know what Chris and Caleb, what do you guys do on a bye week when Tennessee is not playing? What are you guys doing? Let's start with Caleb.
Mostly relax. I don't stress out about our game that we don't have. It's typically what I'm doing on a Saturday. Get in some nice obligations. To a 5-year-old birthday party, so that was a good time. And yeah, just kind of casually watch some games without the stress of us losing.
Nice. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with Caleb. Tennessee football is like winning is 95% just relief. So not having that aspect to the weekend, I turn into like a Alex Mack puddle of non-movement and just focusing on the quad box and whatever other game can show up on the computer, or if I bring another TV or whatever, just trying to get as many eyeballs or my eyeballs on as many interesting games as possible. Half the day is spent trying to figure out why can't there, this game is good, but I can't quad box it with this game even in a create form. Is there some ABC, CBS type of, not CBS, there's never a good game on CBS now, but yeah, just can't mishmash them. Like sometimes we get real lucky and oh my God, the fourth game, it's Louisiana Tech and someone, and that's kind of good actually, along with Ohio State and whoever. So it's just a lot of maintenance and keeping these things up, and yeah, just keeping track of the story, because every week, I mean, it's the greatest sport in the world. And last week, though, did not really deliver the goods. But week in, week out, generally it does.
Yeah, I get that. And that is a good point that I'm glad that you brought this up where, you know, we do share our podcast via YouTube. And one of my biggest things that I'm thankful for is YouTube TV, because it's awesome. But I am kind of getting mad of, like, we have the create your quad box feature, but I can't get why can't I just put all the exact four games that I want? Like, I can do these two games, but then I have one game that I just don't care about at all. Like, that is one thing, you know, in our sponsorships segment coming up, we might do YouTube as a sponsor, but not until they fix the quad box error. So,
very, very happy to have YouTube as a sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah, so YouTube, if you want to sponsor a segment, fix the quad box. But yeah, so that's one thing I have to say.
Of course, guys.
Oh, the algorithm is gonna hate us this week. But yeah, I think for me on the bye weeks, for those that don't know, I do community outreach and engagement and stuff like that, and I always plan my outreach events on a bye week so that can so I can do my job and not miss a Tennessee game. So that's what I was doing this week. But also when I got home, and I got home like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's really hard for me to get into the football games when Tennessee's not playing. I try to, like, when Tennessee is playing, it's easier for me to watch other games. But I don't know, like, I get home and I had like 3 or 4 games on, and I'm watching, and I'm just like, man, I just can't get into this. Yeah, but like Chris was talking about, maybe it was just like the games weren't that exciting this Saturday, or if it was just me, we can kind of get into that. But what did you guys think about the slate of games during our bye week?
It kind of sucked.
Yeah, see? I
mean, ultimately, it looked okay on paper, but it turned out to suck.
It sucked because exactly zero chaos happened.
Well, yes, exactly. At this point, that's what we need more than anything. And none, like, we got no favors Saturday.
Like, zero.
Yeah.
Like, I nearly had a conniption watching Penn State and Wisconsin. Sons of bitches, just Penn State sucks. And you're just going to let them walk into this thing. Like, this, they can't do anything. They got their starting quarterback injured, and Wisconsin just at home can't do anything.
Yeah. I think Chris, and it just, now, Chris, you brought up a good point. I think in a group chat Saturday or something, where Penn State is starting to feel kind of like the TCU of last year, 2 years ago, where it was like, they have, like, a definite loss coming up this Saturday, but they just don't lose. And they just keep winning. And there's no way that Penn State is the number three team or number two team in the nation, whatever they are right now. They're not a top five team. Like, but somehow they're just not losing.
I'd say that's Texas A&M. Like, Texas A&M they're also not is not good. Yeah. They're not very good. They sprung a Matt Mock game on LSU, which was kind of delicious to see in a certain point of view, but they're not very good, but the schedule is just not going to permit them to lose until Texas.
Yeah.
And even then, Texas, I don't think is really all that good.
Nobody's.
Yeah. Caleb, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, even like a little teeny tiny favor would have been Duke beating SMU, and we couldn't even pull that one off. Like,
great point.
Literally nothing broke our way. It was infuriating.
Yeah.
Sure. Is it better that Nebraska didn't beat Ohio State, as much as we wanted that to happen?
No, I mean, I think it would have been good for Ohio State to lose, because they still have a couple more losable games, I think.
Yes. And well, the way they looked made it look like that those are more possible than they could have been conceivably a couple weeks ago. But this logjam that is going to be forming of 10-2 teams is terrifying going forward.
I think one thing that I'm looking for, and I think I heard someone say this, one of our sources say that, you know, like, it's almost time to start just rooting for the front runners. Like, let's just hope that the top teams just continue to win, because what we don't want to do is continue to muddy up and log jam and just say, like, yo, if you're like, maybe we start rooting for the very tippy top teams just to keep winning. And that way, you know, for Tennessee, we're now looking for that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seed. And we don't want Georgia to lose, and we don't want this person to lose and, like, get muddied back down there with us. So,
yeah, we can't have A&M beating Texas, for example.
Yeah.
Yes. It was pretty disgusting having to root for Alabama. It did not feel good. I'm very glad.
I hear you, but I don't know.
I have no love of Missouri, to be sure.
Well, our Arkansas loss isn't looking that bad.
Who they play, LSU this week? Who they have this week?
Is it LSU?
I don't know. I just know they Taylen Green had a pretty good game.
Ole Miss.
I mean, he's good. Ole Miss. Yeah, Arkansas, you win that, son of a bitch. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Man,
that's got to cheer. We got to cheer for Arkansas, South Carolina, and Florida this week.
Man.
What was it someone said today? It was like, oh, we got to be Vol Cox this weekend.
I mean, my 2022 having ruined South Carolina for all time for me. However, that does give me at least some hope, because, man, think about South Carolina historically. There's just, they are a team that when you're feeling pretty good about yourselves, they come up on the schedule and you look at South Carolina and so-so record, whatever, shouldn't be too difficult of a game. And then 4 hours later, after they've just pulled out some kind of nonsense, you're sitting there in the locker room as a player or a fan walking out of the stadium going, what the fuck just happened? They are a team uniquely capable of that. And so that's why I don't think it's going to happen, because we can see it coming.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I think that all in all, Tennessee really needs to keep winning, and we need some people to lose, but not everybody needs to lose, because we kind of don't want the entirety of the top 25 to be fighting for the same two or three spots that Tennessee is fighting for. So anybody, do you have any final thoughts on the bye week before we get into Kentucky week?
Let's see.
I do not.
As Chris pulls up the document.
We didn't even say a word about Vandy, Texas.
I mean, it looked a lot closer than it.
Yeah.
I mean, Vandy played pretty well, but.
I mean,
it looked closer than it was.
I mean, I think Texas, just like everybody else, is flawed. And Texas, more than anybody else, got away with a lot of easy games to start out with. And now they're just playing people with a heartbeat. And now they're playing people with a heartbeat. And they say, oh, snap, we're not as good as we thought we were.
Perhaps so. It's just I'm looking forward. No, I'm not looking forward to this, but Vandy needs to keep doing that. Yeah. And we need to figure out a way to beat them.
Yeah.
They're not a joke. They are. It was a strange game for me that they started well and they finished well, but there was so much in the middle that just kind of, yeah. We need Jerry Palm. Jerry Palm values Vanderbilt in a very unique way, and it's either going to keep Tennessee or Alabama. It's going to keep Alabama in the playoff. Well, I mean, Vanderbilt is the hinge on our fortunes, really and truly.
Yeah. Jerry Palm has it as a quality loss for Alabama, but if we beat them, then they're not that good, and it's not a good win. So,
classic. Jerry Palm, stick to basketball.
No, Jerry, don't stick to that.
I don't know. It's just, but yeah. So, with that being said, let us move on over to this weekend. Before we get into the game, I would like to know, Chris, you're very aware of this, but me and you have a very sticky relationship when it comes to the Tennessee-Kentucky game, especially going to Kentucky. But, like, let's get just real quickly, Caleb, we'll start with you. What is your kind of view of the overall Kentucky-Tennessee series as you've experienced it, as long as you've been a fan?
Say this diplomatically, Caleb, for our Kentucky viewers.
Well, overall, I mean, I don't know. I'm not – they don't concern me. I don't think about them very often. I'm not worried about them. I don't respect them. I don't know. That's about how I feel. I just do not worry about playing Kentucky ever. And the only times we lose to them is when we're going to fire our coach. And I don't think we're going to fire our coach anytime soon, at least. So I'm not worried.
That's a good point. What about you, Chris?
Yes, we have had, we've been very fortunate to have Kentucky be our Tennessee to Florida. we've been on the right side of that one our whole lives and kind of pretty much as long as football's been played. So, yeah, it doesn't really ever strike fear. You know, looking at the preseason schedule, you go, okay, there's a win. First start, we're going to open up November with a win, which is kind of precisely why I'm a little unnerved considering our past performance with a bye week. But in general, no, Kentucky brings a knife to a gunfight more often than not. And the games of late are kind of taxing apart from 2022. I mean that it's in our period of not being very good at football. And even recently, when you know, starting with Josh Heupel's first year, it was back and forth. And for some reason, last year is blanking on me. Did we blow them out? Yes, last year, or was it a
Joe Milton did really well.
Yeah, the drive with Samson. Thank you.
Yeah,
it was tight until the end. And I kind of sort of expect the same thing this week, despite Kentucky coming in pretty limpingly.
Yeah, for me, growing up and watching Tennessee, Kentucky, I've just never, like Caleb, I've just never thought twice about Kentucky. Even when, a couple years ago where they brought in their top 10 Kentucky team and it's supposed to be one of their best teams ever and one of our worst teams ever and we still win. I mean, it's just hilarious.
Hail Mary to the end zone.
Yeah, and even those games where it was close on paper and in the game, where we go, what was it, Eric Ainge's year, but we go like multiple overtimes, or it was somebody that
2007.
Yeah, and I was just like, I've always felt like even when Tennessee's down in the third quarter or fourth quarter, I kind of get excited because I just know that Kentucky's mistake they're about to make is going to be more funny now, because I just know that. Okay, Kentucky's about to Kentucky, and Tennessee's going to come back and win this, and it's just going to be more funny because it's in the fourth quarter or overtime. So
the funnier aspect to me for it, I mean, I agree entirely, but two of the Kentucky wins in the last, I mean, two of the Kentucky wins in our lifetime, we were rooting for Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean – for those who are new to the pod, me and Chris were at Kentucky's first win in 26 years, at Kentucky, and we were sitting next to John Bryce's parents, apparently. But yeah, it was a pretty bad game. But then we found out like, oh, Tyler Bray didn't want to go to a bowl game, and this was happening. And it was like Tennessee was literally like sabotaging themselves. Yeah, it is what it is.
Part of long-running athletic department conspiracy to literally never let the Liberty Bowl get their hands on us.
Yeah,
it's but, one of the more beautiful things that we do.
But let's kind of go. First off, I want to talk a little bit about the barrel because we highlighted the barrel on our video, and I don't know if you guys know, but we are on social media, and we actually have a guy that's really, really good at making videos, and we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and our buddy Chris here made a video last week that just took everything by storm. Everybody knows about it, and if you're watching us, it's probably because of this video. So yeah, Chris, that video has got almost like 200,000 views across all platforms, which that's pretty awesome. You literally filled up Neyland twice based on how many people viewed your video.
This is the first hearing about it.
Yeah. So with that, I want to know, Chris, what was your like inspiration and the reasoning for the beer barrel video that you made today?
Oh, I mean, it's, I don't know. I started looking at pictures of it, and I knew it was there. The only stories that have been about it in the last 26 years have been, where the hell is this thing? and what was it? Alan Williams at WVLT went, and Jimmy Hyams and Chris Lowe all at various points have gone and said, oh, it's literally just sitting with a toolbox on it in some nondescript back out, you know, hallway room, kind of varies in different spots, but it's just kind of an afterthought and nobody's talking about it. And yet every single year that we play Kentucky, there's always an internet bit of talk about why we should bring this back, or just desire to bring it back. And looking at the pictures of it, just the little old barrel all beat up and nobody gives a shit about it anymore. It evoked some sort of a sense of sympathy in it for its sake, and not just for my own wishing Tennessee to have a rivalry game trophy. So that it said, man, you could put Sarah McLaughlin with that real easy.
Nice. Well, that's good. It was a good video. Caleb, do you have any thoughts on the barrel?
I would be nice if they brought it back, but I always wanted a trophy, but I don't care too strongly. I think like you, Kyle, I've always wondered why it wasn't the whiskey barrel.
Yeah, I mean, in the Tennessee States, whiskey, Tennessee and Kentucky. Kentucky whiskey, yeah.
Two on the nose, that's why.
Maybe it was
just two on the nose.
No, what was the thing? What was the thing back in the day that you couldn't drink, like the law?
A prohibition.
Oh, I was out in my head. I was thinking suffrage, but that's not the right one.
prohibition was suffering.
I was just like, it's not suffrage. anyway, that's been Politics with Kyle. I think it's got to be the whiskey barrel, but that will lead us to the actual game. But before we get into the game, this is the time of the podcast where we have our sponsorship segment. So we are going to do a 2-minute drill, and this 2-minute drill is sponsored by, again, Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast he's been hitting us up. He's been like, hey, I heard that you guys just randomly put us on your podcast. That's great. I hope the algorithm picks up and all this kind of stuff. It's been great. I have no idea where I'm going with this joke right now, so I'm going to stop talking. Shout out to Mr. Beast. It's great. We actually did have a viewer that was like, yo, that Mr. Beast thing was funny. Do it again. So that's why I did it. So if you liked the Mr. Beast segment last time, that's why I'm doing it again this time. And this will be the last time I've done the Mr. Beast segment. So with that being
savory allegations or something, Kyle.
Huh?
Say what?
Doesn't he have some pretty bad allegations recently? I don't know.
I don't know. Who doesn't now? You know, he probably went to a Diddy party. Yeah. I don't know. If at the date of this recording, I have no information about Mr. Beast allegations. So if he's a horrible person, sorry. But anyway,
Diddy does not sponsor our podcast.
Yes. This was all a joke, and it's really just going downhill now. But this now sponsored is by Mr. Beast 2-minute drill. Let's have a 2-minute drill with you and Caleb and Chris. What do you think about the Tennessee blackout this Saturday? Caleb, we're going to start with you. Two minutes on the clock. Good, bad, ugly. What's your thoughts on the blackout?
No, wait. Are the fans supposed to wear black or not?
Or dark mode, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, dark mode. I'm fine with the dark mode. I think they look pretty good. I think they look much, much better than the smoky grays.
Very diplomatic again, yeah. Caleb.
So I'm good with the dark modes one time per year, no more. And I appreciate that we do it versus an opponent like Kentucky, because Danny White has been very clear. We wear the traditional orange and white only for big rivalry games, and then we turn around and wear black against Kentucky. I just think that pisses them off even more, because they think that this is a big rivalry game, and it's just not. So I'm good with it.
All right. Chris, what do you think?
I think Caleb said it all. That's they are I think the best alternative uniform in college football, especially with the, they weren't with white helmets. But as soon as they secured the black helmet, it is just an incredibly clean look. It's seasonally appropriate, I guess. I think it's why it mostly fit.
Yeah.
I'm very glad to, yes. I might quibble with you on Kentucky rivalry status. It isn't a big rivalry, but there's something about them that makes me very, very keen, more so than others, keen to beat them. But yeah, dark mode. Also, UT's media department, like it. These videos that they're putting out for the especially the uniform reveal one, is so technically excellent.
Yeah,
like as someone who dabbles in making that, like you can see the expertise that went into it. Like it was just so. I mean, it wasn't especially creative, but it was very, very well done.
Yeah, and shout out to the video team. And again, friend of the pod, Noah the Boa. He doesn't know that he's a friend of the pod, but I'm calling him that. He is the video guy. He actually, I think later or early this today, he posted a breakdown video on his Instagram of how he made that video. So, yeah, and shout out to the event. Huh?
You know the guy who made the reveal video?
I mean, I don't know him, but I follow him on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure 2 years or 2 years ago. You remember when I posted the TD Jakes wake up at Saturday or wake up, and then like an hour later UT posted it. I think because Noah saw me post it. But anyway,
so I don't know if he's a friend of the pod then, Kyle.
Yeah, but anyway, but I do like the whole Venom thing. That was really cool. Even though Venom's not a good movie, it kind of sucks. But you know, the whole Venom, like, alien thing, that was pretty cool.
Is it anyway, the fact that he turns black?
Well, like, that's the whole, that was the Venom thing where he attaches and turns Spider-Man to bad Spider-Man. So, that's actually like a Marvel movie. They were giving the yeah, like, homage to Marvel and Spider-Man and Venom.
For sure. It's just Venom is like, that aspect of superhero movies is a complete blind spot to me.
Yeah.
Not one I've engaged with.
Yeah. But I think for me, the dark mode is cool. I like it. The only thing I am getting just a little bit of an issue now. I love all uniforms, and not that I love them. I just don't hate them like some people, but it's just like, we're not seeing the traditional orange and white a lot now, because it's like, we have a lot of alternative uniforms going on now, and which are cool. It's fine. It's just like, man, like I want to see orange and white, some, you know, a little bit more. But shout out to the original dark mode, which was the Lane Kiffin year, where it was basically we were wearing like trash bags, and I actually liked it. And I do remember the only thing I do remember about that game is the Montero Hardesty spin move. That was a great spin move that he put in those black jerseys. So,
remember the play action fake to Austin Johnson breaking the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I remember two now, but I do like our dark mode black uniforms, and you know the kids love them. I was with the high school team from Texas in the summer. They know nothing about Tennessee football. They're from Texas. They're all like A&M fans, Oklahoma State fans, and like Texas fans. But they were raving about Tennessee's uniforms. They're like, man, I don't know a lot about Tennessee football, but y'all have the best uniforms in all of college football. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. But
it is interesting. It is solidly our third best uniform.
Yeah.
But no question. Anyway.
All right, guys, that has been 2 minutes with Mr. Beast. So let's keep it moving to now what everybody's tuned in for. Let's talk about the game this Saturday. What is it, 7:45? I will be in very chilly Rochester, New York. Hopefully I will be seeing it through my phone. But, you know, it is what it is. I am excited about it. But let's get into the game. What do you guys think about the lead up to the game? What are you guys kind of thinking? Chris, we're going to start with you on this one.
What lead up to the game? like, we've talked about uniforms, and that's it.
What are your feelings going into the game?
Oh, my feelings? I'm never particular. I mean, if I take the name off the jersey somehow, I'm never particularly easy feeling about team coming in who at one point was pretty decent defensively, had a win that they probably shouldn't have gotten, and is not playing well of late. We tend to be pretty generous to those kind of teams coming in over the years. They're really needing a win. We really like to give it to them. But it's Kentucky, so that kind of diminishes things a little bit, considering it's just, yeah, what we've talked about. But my feelings are that we need to just absolutely kick the shit out of them so we can start to, everybody in the country is looking at Tennessee right now as, well, we just don't kind of know what they really are. They're not the high-flying team that we saw in the first few games, and you know their defense is really good, but we're not getting any credit for that. We have to start the trend of scoring in the first quarter again. It was a real nice trip.
Something's got to give. We've scored the last 3 years and 5 plays or less every game against Kentucky.
Yes.
So will we continue that trend or the trend of not scoring?
So
that is a good question.
I know what I'm rooting for.
I kind of agree with you guys coming into the game. I'm really confident that we're going to win the game. I just hope that we do it in a very decisive fashion. I know we might be looking ahead a little bit, but it's like, yeah, with what's going on in college football around us and what we think is going to happen, and once we kind of project the rest of the season out, we don't need to just win this game. We need to win it big, and we need to start putting some fireworks up, and we need to start putting big numbers up because we just want there to be zero doubt where we're moving forward, because I really do think that we're going to win the game. But I'm seeing playoff projections where Tennessee is the first team out of the playoff, or we're the last team in the playoff, or, you know, that kind of like mixed projections. And like, depending on if we just squeak by Kentucky versus having a great win versus Kentucky could be the difference. So
I think the first playoff, like actual playoff rankings, come out next week.
Yeah.
So we'll be very nice.
Y'all prepared to be exceedingly pissed off at that one?
I think we'll do okay, honestly.
I think we're going to be right around where we are in the AP poll, coaches poll.
You know, it just hit me. It's like, you know what we could do? We could just play for the bottom and say, like, you know what? We're so bad, we want that group of 5 auto bid.
Yeah. What a thought.
Going into the game, like the actual you know, game, the X's and O's, like, what are you guys most concerned about when we're thinking about Kentucky? Are you concerned about our offense versus their defense? Are you thinking about a position group? You're thinking about a certain player, thinking about coaching? What are you most concerned about going into the game?
I mean, I literally know next to nothing about Kentucky's actual players.
I agree. I was going to ask, does Kentucky still have a kicker named something like Will Mess Up? Will Miss Kick? Like, it's just
not looking good. Or
saying, like, his name's Wide Left or something.
What was the kicker's name?
Chance Poor.
Yeah, Chance Poor. That's hilarious. Chance Poor. Poor kicker.
Suck up for South Carolina. And who? Oh, blew it.
Blew it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nominative determinism is real.
I do think you just said you don't know a lot about Kentucky. I don't either. I just heard a few things this week. But one thing that really stood out to me was that in the SEC games, Dylan Sampson has 8 touchdowns and Kentucky's entire offense has 7.
I'm sure the KSR guys have broken down extensively why that is. God, you know, we just don't have a lot of guys that are really putting forth a lot of effort right now, or however.
How many non-Dylan Sampson touchdowns do we have in SEC play?
That's a good
question. Like 3?
That's a good question. Yeah. Shout out Dylan Sampson.
Shout out Chris Frazzle.
Yeah, there we go. That's classic Caleb, just bringing everything back down. All right.
Ask Caleb.
All right. Well done, Caleb. So I don't know much about them. I am a little concerned about our offense, obviously, but I'm not concerned about Kentucky scoring at all. I do think if we lose this game, it's going to be like a 10-6 game or something like that. Like, I'm not worried about them scoring more than 17 points total.
I agree with that.
Yes, I think our defense is for real, and the very good Kentucky defense has sort of just disappeared. Jarquez Hunter carried the ball for Auburn under 30 times last week and had like 300 yards rushing.
Also, didn't they have an offensive lineman who, you know, I'm not a pro football focused guy, but graded out as a 0.0?
Yes, but Cole Kublik said, don't do that to that kid. See, and then took time to do the clips of, see, is this not good? This is fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't even good. He wasn't even terribly adequate, but don't do that.
Is this Gerald Mincy's backup?
Shout out Gerald Mincy. Yeah.
Hope you get better, Gerald.
Yeah, I guess. I saw somebody where, like, Gerald Mincy's out for the Tennessee game, and he's a his diagnosis was scared.
That's just not put too fine a point on it, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know where to go when we're talking about X and O's and positions and players and stuff. Like, I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, this comes down to, are we going to execute or not? And if we execute, we're going to win comfortably. And if we don't, it might be a little spooky.
Spooky.
Yeah. If we're not connecting on passes, if receivers are still dropping balls, God bless Squirrel White. Said it for a couple weeks now, but if Squirrel White continues to have his AC joint preventing his arm from fully extending, then, you know, yeah, it could be very frustrating, because Kentucky's not good, but I think they're probably good enough to, if we're just completely misfiring, for the game to look very ugly. And
yeah,
I mean, ugly game is almost as bad as a loss at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think one thing that I'm confident or hopeful about is what I should say coming out of the bye week is that some of our nagging injuries got some sort of healing and recovery. Hopefully, one I'm thinking about mostly is Dante Thornton. If Dante Thornton can, that little like nagging thing that he's been 60, 70, 80%, whatever he's got going on, maybe he's back to 90% or 100%, hopefully. Also, Brew McCoy, whatever he's got going on with his hands, apparently has like a broken finger or something like that. So maybe 2 weeks off was, you know, good for him. You know, and then obviously, who knows how Squirrel's going to – I feel like an AC joint needs more time. But, yeah, I think for me, it's coming down to the past couple games. I've kind of still thought that we talked about this last week where everybody's like, man, Tennessee's so close. And like I saw it in the Alabama game where, man, if we completed three passes, if three of those incomplete passes were flipped to complete, that's a blowout. So hopefully those three incompletes that we've been having incompletes the past couple games are getting completed in this game, and it is blowout. So that's what I'll be looking for.
I hope you're right, Kyle. I also want to have good offense and demonstrate it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game, I guess, is to beat Kentucky. But I'm not scared about them at all. I do want to mention this. Does anybody have anything else that you want to talk about, like X's and O's and the actual gameplay?
I have enjoyed that Mark Stoops has tried to throw us off by saying, we just don't know which quarterback we're going to start. So take that. Oh, Brock Vandegrift. Do what?
Did you hear Stoops complaining about having to play another night game?
That's what I was about to say. Was like, I want to talk about what did you guys think about Mark Stoops actually saying that they're at a disadvantage because they play too many night games?
I don't know how to reconcile that with Lane Kiffin complaining about no night games.
Well, I mean, I assume he means he has to play at
road
on the road at night, which does suck for Kentucky because they kind of suck.
Doesn't really add up to a good thing.
Simply, we don't lose in Neyland at night very often, so yeah, that kind of does suck for them.
Yeah,
you're gonna
also
get a
you
pretty
can't complain about that publicly. Cause...
Yeah, it definitely is. I don't know. I think Mark Stoops has this weird thing going on in Kentucky where, like, I heard something on a radio show today or yesterday where he might be kind of like just trying to get out of there.
He's been doing it for years. He literally did leave last year, and then the A&M fans were, nope. And years before that, he's like, I think it's bullshit how much we care about basketball. Like, he's just been trying to leave, and they won't let him.
Man, I really wish he was. I wish Mark Stoops was at Texas A&M right now.
Oh yeah, but I don't. I'm kind of glad that Mike Elko is not at Kentucky.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't think he would win Kentucky.
I was very much hoping if Mark Stoops went anywhere, it was Florida State. Yeah, it went very hard to try and convince my Florida State friends that this is the guy. you want to?
I'm fine with Mark Stoops staying at Kentucky forever.
Yeah, of course. He does our dirty work. He takes out our bad coaches, and then he dutifully loses to our good ones, of which there have been one.
That's a good point. Lost to our bad ones too.
Exactly. He cleared the way. Our policy is if you lose to Kentucky, your days are numbered.
Nice. Well, I think that's it for the actual Kentucky game. Do we have anything going on outside of our game that we want to maybe look at and talk about? Other matchups of notice. Chris, what do you got? Caleb, what do you got?
I mean, there's Penn State, Ohio State. I don't know what's best for us there, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean,
I suspect Ohio State taking another loss is probably better for us because they could presumably lose to Penn State and lose to Indiana and get knocked out of the playoff.
Possibly. Yes, I hadn't.
I don't know.
Indiana is very good, but I don't know that they are playoff good.
Probably. Well, I don't know, but I think of the Big Ten teams, I think Penn State is almost certainly in at this point. Like, yes. Even if they lose to Ohio State, I don't think they have another loss on their schedule.
Yes.
And Ohio State is one of the teams who could fall out of the playoff.
It's almost inconceivable, but
potentially.
Potentially, yes.
Penn State win would, I do think, be better for us. But
who's getting in the playoff as of this moment from the Big Ten? Is Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and is it Indiana?
And they're undefeated, right? You got to put them in.
They are undefeated. They're there. Is there anyone else from the Big Ten that's projected up there?
I don't think so. Unless, like, Illinois wins out or something, like, completely wild. But
That would not really be in Burt's fashion. Yeah. He doesn't.
It's so, hard, yeah, to getting it from 4-3 would be good for us. Ace. And I don't know if a one-loss Indiana is getting in or not. I mean, potentially they could.
Potentially so. We just don't know how much they're going to value strength of schedule. And Indiana, if they don't beat Ohio State, is, yeah. I still don't know. Like, almost want Penn State to just go ahead and become the Big Ten champion or become. Does Penn State play Oregon? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, if someone is to go down, yeah, Caleb, you're right. It's Ohio State has the most losable games going forward. They did not look good against Michigan and hell, even against earlier in the season against Butch Jones, they didn't really dispatch them with the same kind of gusto that you expect.
Well, Butch Jones has more career wins than Ryan Day, so that's not that surprising.
I mean, it had at least, and you said it.
Wow, that's impressive.
Kudos to you. He does, indeed.
What'd someone say? Ryan Day's nothing but jacked up Butch Jones?
Ow!
That's funny. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think that I just want Penn State to lose. I don't think the committee is going to keep Ohio State out of the playoff, even if they have three losses.
Yeah, they're not getting in with three losses.
Yeah, I feel like if we're the college football committee and we're making the playoff bracket right now, I think we're putting in a three-loss Ohio State team in over like a 1 or 2-loss Penn State team. I just think that's the way they need Ohio State in there.
It certainly is a ratings boost.
Yeah,
and so we don't know what was the difference in the last year, that there was the train of thought that. There's a deserving train of thought, and then what the record says train of thought. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Who's deserving the most deserving? Versus how good you are, despite what your record says.
The best teams.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that brings up a great point, Chris, that will introduce our new segment of this week, which is Timeout for Sources, and this is where we lean on our sources that we have all over the country. We have some sources at University of Tennessee. We have some sources at your favorite college, wherever you're watching from. We have sources there, and if you don't believe us, tough, because we can't disclose our sources. But we do have sources that say that it doesn't matter what their record is. It doesn't matter who's more deserving. The playoff committee makes playoff games based on TV ratings and TV ratings alone. So when they're in there, they're like, what makes the best matchup for TVs? So with that being said, Ohio State's winning. Ohio State's going to, even if they lose, they're going to get in there. So.
Well, how sobering.
Yeah. So that's this segment of We Have Sources.
We will continue to listen to the sources and judge for ourselves. Thank you for bringing that to us, Kyle.
Yeah, even if our source is Google.
Mm-hmm. Even so, huh?
All right, go Cokes. That's my next game of the week.
Yep.
Who are they playing?
A&M.
Oof. That would be nice. It's not going to happen, though.
Just neato. Yeah, just because we're identifying it. Chaos is a creation of the unknown.
Yeah.
So the way I've tried to ensure some chaos this week is I placed a money line parlay bet on all of the teams that we need to lose to win. So I bet them all to win.
Ooh, Caleb, that's...
You know I can never win a parlay bet, so somebody who we need to lose is going to lose this week.
Just to mess up your parlay.
Said next week. Congratulations on your parlay, Caleb. Well done. Yeah. I staked a lot on it because that was.
Is it a good payout though? If it hits.
It was like +350 or something. So, I mean, it's picking all favorites. So it wasn't great, but
Caleb, do us all a favor and can you up your wager on it?
I can just go bet it again.
Bet it again. Make it sting. Make it sting. This is for
the make it very profitable to take away the sting of it. Actually, yeah,
exactly. Exactly. This is me betting for money.
What's likely to happen is whoever I put in there that is the least beneficial to us is going to lose. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I have like Clemson in there. Like, if Clemson loses, that's pretty good for us. But not like, I don't know, amazing for us.
And we would just like to take a few seconds and say we are not financial advisors. And if you do gamble on what you have, not on what you might need. And if you have a problem, go 1-800-GAMBLER. So again, that's 1-800-GAMBLER. And we are not financial advisors.
That's very, very good advice.
Now we're legal. We just got to keep it legal. Got to keep it legal.
WJBE. Oh, sorry, wrong show.
N40. I did not know that A&M at South Carolina is at 7:30. This gives me less hope than before. South Carolina, big stuff happens in the daylight. This is all setting. I mean, South Carolina... So do you remember South Carolina Ole Miss 2008? Ole Miss is number 4.
You know what? I got to say, I don't remember that.
It was the game. You know, like, it was the game that Sandstorm started. And Houston Nuts, 4th-ranked Ole Miss Rebels, go into South Carolina. And Chris Fowler is just noting the... they said, wow, Rave is broken out. And he's got Javon Sneed and whatnot. And that is and South Carolina beat them. But that is they beat Alabama with Stephen Garcia in the daytime.
Gross. I do remember that.
They did get us. Please, Shane, you've got less than 2 days. Really get that grass sandy. Really, really get that grass low cut and sandy. Please steal their plays. Please. Just do what you do best.
Hopefully Connor Stallions had a bye week last week.
I have to say, where is Connor?
Nice.
He owes us one, that bastard son of a bitch.
Any other games?
Let's see. Indiana's at Michigan State.
Wait, real quick. Let's kind of go on them just for a second. What is your, 30-second thoughts on Indiana overall right now?
They're very good.
They're incredibly good. They haven't trailed. However, they have played basically next to no one. Your biggest win is Nebraska. Nebraska, who hasn't been able to get out of their way in quarter century. Yeah, no. But they're very, very good. I enjoyed seeing them be good because Indiana is just one of the have-nots of college football. So them getting to have some fun, pretty good, pretty enjoyable. But now it's gonna maybe come at our expense, and now we need to just pump the brakes a bit.
Yeah, I just hope it's weird. I hope they don't do so good where that coach ends up at Florida.
He's in his mid-60s now. Like, yes, he's also a Saban guy.
Yeah.
Not really, but he was on the Saban staff for
a bit. Well, he was Saban's, like, recruiting coordinator.
Notable position in all staffs.
Yeah, sorry, so that's suffered to get me again.
Speaking of Florida, though, they've got a four-game stretch coming up where they could do us some really good favors if they have the courage.
If you got the balls, Florida. If you got the wherewithal. Florida is so charitable to Tennessee historically.
Speaking of hanging chads.
Treat of a rival to have hanging chads. Florida's in Alachua County. They had those things counted at 10 p.m.
I don't know where we're going here. Any other games?
Florida beating Georgia would be very nice.
We need North Carolina to beat Ole Miss. That'd be nice for our record, our resume.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Were you aware that Florida beat Georgia in 2020?
Not specifically, but I'm aware that Florida does that on occasion.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, historically, that game is just, well, it's dominated by one side or the other. Occasionally, they get a good one. But, yeah, that for forever, that game was, well, near and dear to my heart, former Jacksonville resident, love the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. But, yeah, the game itself was always kind of shit. And the team that I tactically needed to win never did. But a pretty good Florida beat Georgia in the middle of their dynasty. So Florida, I don't think Florida's any slouch. Like, their record's bad. But I think I saw some metrics where they should be a top 25 team.
Hey, they took us to overtime. They got to be pretty good.
The falls to overtime in classic orange and white against big uniforms.
Wow.
At pumped in sound Neyland Stadium. Wild. So Florida, do us a solid.
I saw something I can't think of now, but there's some sort of breaking news today on Florida, Georgia, like where they're playing though, right? I mean,
they're going to Tampa next year.
Yeah.
Or Atlanta next year and Tampa the year before, and good old Josh Pate just about that. Which I agree. You're going to take Florida, Georgia and play them in the Outback Bowl Stadium. And guys, just anything to not do the home and home.
Yeah, it's so crazy they don't have a home and home.
I mean, it's a very cool game year in and year out, and Jacksonville is, oddly enough, perfectly suited to do it. It's one that, yes, I think it's unfair, but it does still have that kind of Oklahoma, Texas-style feel, and it's unique and cool. That is the nicest thing I will say about Georgia and Florida.
And in conference, neutral site games are smoky gray.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, we just hit 1 hour on the recording. So do you guys have anything? Pick to clicks. We do have a before we do pick to clicks, let's do final score on because I got a text message from Matt. Who his final score for Tennessee Kentucky is 41-3 Vols. Now, unfortunately, we already have that score. So we can't record that. So
right, we'll put him down 42-3.
Yeah, 42-3
is good. Good score.
Or maybe 41-2, whichever.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's go. Pick clicks and final score. Let's start with Caleb.
All right, my final score is 38-13, Tennessee.
That's mine.
Ah, dang it. My pick to click is going to be, I know I think we've picked him a couple times this year, but I'm going to keep going back until he clicks, and that's Mike Matthews.
Also took mine. Jesus.
Wow.
45-9 is what I'm looking for.
Who's winning?
Great question. that'd be Tennessee. I couldn't be creative with that one. Pick to click. Didn't really think about it because I always forget this bit. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Dylan Sampson.
Ooh, man.
No, I need to take that back because literally every time I pick someone to click, they don't click, like, at all. And if he doesn't click,
so you want to go like Nathan Leacock or...
Nathan Leacock's a good one. my old favorite, Chaz Nimrod. Chaz Nimrod, 5 catches, 100 yards, and score.
Nice. I am going to go 35-13. And I'm going to say... Just, it's in me. Kitzelman.
Ooh.
He is a fave, is he not?
I don't know. He started off hot to start the season, but he kind of disappeared a little bit. But I think Kitzelman is going to reappear in a big way.
We have not run a lot of 12 personnel, and Kitzelman has not snuck into the deep. Yeah. A streak. Not in a bit.
All right. And before we end, it just reminded me, and I forgot to mention it during our Mr. Beast segment. But the Mr. Beast segment is who is our Beast of the Week, which is our defensive player. So, yeah, it just hit me. I was like, I don't know why I did a whole Mr. Beast thing and didn't mention the Beast of the Week. So who is your Beast on defense? Caleb.
I feel like it's going to be somebody in the D-line since Kentucky's O-line is all banged up and they ain't got old Gerald Mincy out there.
Leading.
I don't want to pick the obvious one, so I'm going to go with the guy who started out the season hot, but I haven't heard as much from recently. It's Tyree West.
I like that. He got a little banged up in the Alabama game, right? Is he good to go?
I don't know.
I think he is.
Try to sing a song about G-O-O-D. To go.
Everywhere.
Good to go.
That's funny.
O-O-D. G. Okay.
Chris, who's your Mr. Beast of the Week?
This guy's becoming one of my favorite players on the team. It's Jackson Moy. He's just giving your all for Tennessee on every play. And then he comes out in a press conference this week and said, if I have kids, I'm going to say you need to go play football in the South. There's just literally nothing like it. So he's becoming a team favorite. And yeah, his energy and his explosiveness, I would look for him to see he's not a starter, I don't think, but when that second platoon taps in, man, he gives it all. So yeah, have a good one, Jackson. Also, yeah. Matt, we did not say Matt's pick the click.
Not Brew McCoy. Much.
What was it?
Brew McCoy?
Yeah, it's not happening. Yeah, I think, sure, that's fine. Brett McCoy is a good one. My beast of the week, I just want to go and remind you guys that my heart and my gut 2 weeks ago was with the great white safety. And if you don't remember, I was like, I think he's going to do a big thing. And I think coming out of the Alabama game, there's going to be a storyline about the great white safety. And look, he got a pick just a pick to end the game. So just want to remind you guys of that. When I now say, let's enjoy the pick six from Ricky Gibson.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, Ricky Gibson is going to have a pick six. It's all about McCoy has been amazing. I think we're going to say, you know what, this Gibson guy.
I like that. It's
been a while since we've been able to say, we have two lockdown corners.
Yeah.
That is a sexy pick. I don't like using that word too much, but that is
did Ricky Gibson pick six?
I can't believe you picked Will Brooks to have who has a pick to click. I don't remember that at all.
No, if you go back, I was like, I said, I really want to do this, but I'm going to go somewhere else. But I said, but I do think that Will Brooks is going to have, he's going to be a storyline coming out of Alabama. If fantastic. you guys were in the stadium, but like as soon as he had the pick to end the game, like Matt was like, oh my God, Kyle, you called it.
I trust you on that.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Ricky, you've been given the primer. Go do it.
Anyway, okay, I'm kind of done. Any of y'all got anything else you want to say?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. Bring back the beer barrel. Do it.
Bring back the beer barrel.
He's suffering.
Say that four times fast.
Bring back the beer barrel. Bring back the beer barrel. Bring back the beer barrel. Bring back the beer barrel.